At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Now, according to our first guest today, every woman will experience the panic years in some way between her mid-20s and early 40s. Here to explain more from her book of the same name, welcome to the show, Nell Frizzell.
Hi there, lovely to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too. So the panic years, what do you mean exactly?
What do you mean? Tell us. I imagine this will be something that's fairly familiar to quite a few of your listeners, that at 28, I came out of a long-term relationship. So I was single, I'd been recently made redundant, I'd had to move back into my mum's spare room. And all around me, all my friends who I sort of thought of as my comrades in heartbreak and dancing were suddenly getting married, getting pregnant, buying houses, getting promotions. I remember just feeling incredibly out of sync and wondering what on earth had happened. And I thought it was a sort of personal crisis, that somehow I just missed the starting gun that everyone else had heard and had sort of dropped to the floor and were racing off towards a kind of fairly conservative middle-aged future while I was apparently living like a 22-year-old. But then when I got to 32, I had a baby and I realized that quite a lot of the sort of pressure and momentum that had been pushing all of these women and some men towards that kind of settling down had been the fear of fertility, you know, the idea that you might not have that much longer, that motherhood had sort of been hanging over us all as this will they, won't they question that made everything else suddenly very important, very febrile, and that we needed to act on straight away.
Yeah.
So I wanted to write a book really about that period of time that I was so frustrated didn't have a name, because I saw it, you know, among so many women, that we were all responding to the information and misinformation we'd been given about having children and how much time we had and the role of contraception and what men and people who'd been socialized as men sort of thought about that decision. And so in the book, hopefully, I walk my readers through that period of time to reassure them that this isn't a personal crisis. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are out of sync with everybody else. And that actually it could be so much better. You know, I'm really glad that I had the panic years, but they're really tricky. They're an incredibly tricky, electric, confusing, and sometimes quite lonely time. But if all of us experience it, like I say, between your mid-20s and often into your early 40s, then there's no reason for us to be lonely. And there's no reason for us to feel so sort of, I was going to use the word impotent, which is maybe a little on the nose about this.
Yeah, yeah. I think a book like this will certainly help other people to know that they're not alone and it's not just them.
Well, if my Instagram private messages are anything to go by, it really has like chimed with thousands of people. And it's, you know, it's incredibly flattering, or it feels like an honor to me that people open up with what's happening with them, whether that's their sister getting pregnant or them crying on a hen do or them having to move in with flatmates who keep cheese in their bedroom cupboards. Like, we all have sort of different flavors of this, but we can find a real familiarity and understanding between each other. And so part of why I wanted to write the book was to give a kind of shorthand to this, because I think you know, in your teenage years, when you hit puberty, we have a shorthand. We talk about adolescence. We talk about puberty. Later in life, when you get to middle age, we talk about menopause and we talk about a midlife crisis. This, because it didn't have a name, I felt like it was very hard to bring up casually with people who might very well be in the same boat or who have a direct influence on how you experience that time, whether it's a romantic partner or your employer or your family, maybe your mum, that if we have the language to discuss it and people like me are kind of charging forth, shouting about it, then hopefully other people feel like they have the room and the understanding to talk about their feelings and their experiences and their hopes and disappointments.
Yeah, it could be a new thing, couldn't it? Like they say, they call the menopause the change. In about 10 years' time, it could be known as the panic years. You could have, you could have got the...
I would be thrilled. I would be absolutely thrilled to hear, you know, like two women sitting in a bar over a glass of wine saying, yeah, I think I'm just in my panic years, you know, and that there to be a real understanding about what that means and whether, you know, whether that means that they don't invite them to their hen do or whether they allow them to come to their 30th birthday in flat boots or whatever. Like, I think if there's just some commonality between us, then we can all be a bit kinder and make it a bit easier for each other.
Yeah, I agree. A lot more understanding. And it's interesting you talk about men, because I got it when you were saying, you know, a woman in her 20s or early 30s, you know, a bit worried about the biological clock ticking. But you said men as well. Do they worry about the things women worry about?
Well, I wish they would. I honestly wish they would worry a little bit more and a little bit earlier. Like, I'm really struck again and again by the fact that men are just not encouraged to think about fatherhood in the way that women are encouraged to think about motherhood. It's not a question that they have to really confront. And often, you know, taking my own partner as an example, men don't actually talk about fatherhood until they start becoming dads. Whereas I, age 7, you know, we were writing in the back of our weekly planners at school how many kids we might want, what names we liked, how we might want to give birth, all of that. Pardon me. All that kind of stuff. Whereas men are just left to kind of live the lives of 20-year-olds for as long as humanly possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And more to the point, where is the hormone-free, side effect-free male contraception? You know, I sort of think the huge burden of whether or not we have children comes down to what contraception you use. And if men are not having to take that decision into their bodies, you know, if they are not every time they are in a relationship with someone actually actively making the decision of whether or not they're going to have a child or get pregnant, then they can never really fully understand it in the way that we do.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm guessing it's not just about having children as well. I mean, in, you know, when I was younger, the first thing that you did when you settled down was bought your first home. But it's so much harder now for the millennials to do that.
Oh, I mean, good luck. I think you probably have, if you're extremely lucky, an overlap of paying off your student loan and paying a mortgage of only 2 or 3 years. I remember working out that if I earned what my parents had earned, then I wouldn't be able to buy a house until I was about 60. You know, it just doesn't work in the same way anymore. And so that kind of stability, yeah, like you say, it infringes on everything from work to where you live and who you live with, you know. People are having to leave the big capital cities to go and set up families in places where maybe they never imagined themselves living, just because housing has made it impossible. You know, the price of housing, price of childcare, the instability of our workplaces, all of that makes it really hard to think about what kind of shape you want your life to have once you have left education, you have started to climb something of a career ladder. You know, the questions, they come thick and fast, and you know, we all know the kind of touchstone points. It might be a birthday party, it might be a wedding, it might be a christening, where suddenly everyone is asking you, what are you going to do next? You know, what do you want to do before you're 30? Or what do you want to, you know, do you want to have children? And they're huge, impossible questions. And they do, you know, I think they need to get asked to men, or they need to be, those questions need to be supported with big systematic changes about the way we work, the way we value the labor of childcare, the way we design contraception, like I've already said. You know, this isn't a personal burden that women have to carry around in their laps. You know, it's a much bigger question about how we organise our society and organise our lives.
And do you give any advice, Nell? I mean, it's a good thing, like you say, people knowing that it's not just them and having a commonality. But can you give any advice from what you went through?
I would say be open to your life looking different to those around you. You know, just because you are pregnant before anyone else, or just because you are in a different kind of relationship, doesn't mean that either of you are judging each other or bad. You know, I felt when my best friend got pregnant, I felt incredibly upset and betrayed and angry with her because it felt like the end of fun. And actually, if I'd just seen our lives as, you know, companionable rather than a competition, I think that would have really helped. You know, it felt...
Yeah.
It felt a little bit like everyone else's decisions were a judgment on my decisions. And of course they're not. I'd also say, if you're in a relationship with someone who can't commit and you are feeling ready to commit, then think very carefully about whether you're wasting your time. I used to joke that... here's a controversial thing. I used to joke that men who said they weren't ready and then broke up with their partner after 4 or 5 years and immediately, you know, did all the stuff with someone younger should be fined. I think there should be a financial penalty for wasting women's lives.
Wasting your time, because time is going on, isn't it? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like we only have a finite number of eggs in our bodies. We never know how many there are. And so it's unfair to be asked to wait for 4 or 5 years while someone, quote unquote, sorts their head out. You shouldn't, you know, you should either... take action or ship out, to put it very bluntly.
I like that. Well, the book has been described as raw, hilarious and beguilingly honest, which sounds good.
I'm very
to me,
raw. I'm terribly raw.
I can imagine. And it's a book that every millennial woman should have on her bookshelf. We're selling it on our website right now. It's called The Panic Years by Nell Frizzell, who we're chatting to. Nell, do you have a website if people want to find out more about you?
Oh, you're very kind. Yes, I do. NellFrizzell.com. You can see some lovely, enormous photos of my face and find out what else I've been up to.
I'm going to go on there right now. Oh, and you mentioned Instagram. Is that just Nell Frizzell as well?
Yep. I'm on there and on Twitter. So yeah, please do hand me down. And if anyone wants to share their stories of their own panic years, I absolutely love hearing them. So don't hold back.
Great stuff. Well, it's been lovely to chat to you. I'm a bit past the panic years, but thank you for sharing the information anyway.
Well, I'm very glad for you.
I've got the other years to come yet. Never mind. Thank you, Nell.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.